How many, so you've heard of storm chasers? Yeah, so these guys actually, girls, ladies, women, men, women, they actually chase storms. They get in their cars, they drive furiously, and get themselves strategically to actually follow the storm, to get the best picture, to get the latest information, to get the most update, and most of these people, there's very few actually storm chasers that actually do this for a living. This is more of a hobby. They just like it. Why do you think people chase storm? Why would someone do this? I mean, follow to get that tornado and get that picture. Or that, it turns out there's just a number of reasons why people do this. Sometimes it's just to get the thrill of it, yeah? So do you get that, Roger? Thrill seekers? Did you ever do things like that just to... No. So just to the thrill of it or just to have the latest information or just to do that. We as Seventh-day Adventists are prone to be storm chasers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you again for the opportunity to open your word this morning, Matthew 24 and onward. We are looking at the last chapters of Matthew, Father. And as we open this passage up before us this morning, we ask that your spirit would be here. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew 24, we are going to look at verses 34 till the end of the chapter. And I am just going to read that. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me and follow along with me as I read, starting in verse 36. Those that you have been following with us the last couple of weeks, Jesus has told his disciples some of the things that are going to be happening just before the destruction of Jerusalem and just before and leading up to the coming of Jesus, the sign of his coming. And he's gone through all those. And now he says, starts here in his discourse, still continuing this, verse 36. But of that day, the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, Jesus continues, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day that he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I feel like we should now say, may the Lord add his blessing to his word. Because we need his blessing when we read that word. So this is Jesus finishing up his discourse with the disciples, and he gives this parable of the faithful and the evil servant, all in the context of this idea. No one knows. The angels don't know, but only the Father in heaven knows. Now, some may suppose that the Father in heaven knows because he's appointed the specific point in time. This is what our controversy in the Sabbath school alerted to, that God has some appointed time and he knows it. Or it could also mean that God knows the outworking of human heart and human history, and so he knows when things are going to happen. So by the fact that God knows doesn't answer that question, do we have any role to play in hastening or hindering the coming of Jesus? But the point is that nobody knows. Only God knows. And you might even extrapolate from the passage in Revelation when Jesus is on the horse waiting to come and to plunge in the sickle, and an angel has to be sent from the throne of God to actually tell him now is the time thrust in the sickle. So you might extrapolate from that that Jesus himself doesn't know. No one knows. And no one knows the day or the hour. Jesus, there are some things that he has told us, hasn't he? He's told us the manner in which he's coming. There are things that Scripture has revealed. But it is so easy to take the things that we have in Scripture and to try to extrapolate from that. Many have done that with the time, the day and the hour of Jesus' coming and things like that. And they've extrapolated, well, Noah, as in the days of Noah, and there was 120 years, and so things like that happen in trying to extrapolate ideas about that. But I think there's some other things that we don't know exactly either. We've been given broad pictures of how the second coming and the events that are happening just before Jesus comes. We've been given broad ideas of what those are and what the issues are going to be, but we don't really know exactly how it's going to play out. And you know, it's interesting because everything that happens in the news for students of Bible prophecy, we're sometimes always looking to see, and I'm including myself in this, okay? We're looking to see, oh, I wonder if this has to do with that thing or this event or is that have to do with it? Or maybe it does, and I can put these points together and see. There was a time in my own Christian experience when I was very much a storm watcher, a storm chaser, looking for the next storm, the way that things were going to be fulfilled and it was all going to come together. And I was looking at details of things in the politics of the world and the different things. This specific time was a time when Iran and Iraq were in the news, and there was a big clash between Iran and Iraq, and this was somehow the he-goat and the Daniel being fulfilled back then, a reinterpretation of Daniel. And I would follow this and very much. And along with this was the currency was changing, and we were going to have colored currency, and that was certainly it. And then they were going to, another thing that was going to happen was they were going to have a cashless society. And all these things are happened. You know, we've done those things, but they were all pointing to what? The end, right? This is the end. And that there's a certain excitement that comes in your experience like a storm chaser. There's a certain excitement as you see and as you know and as you can see these things unfolding. But it is not a lasting fuel that will actually endure to the end. Because the next thing, Iran and Iraq fade off, and now there's other bigger issues. And the colored currency has come and gone, and now there's always has to be something else. And along with that, was just a feeling eventually of criticism that was developing in my heart. Criticism towards others that didn't see, or criticism towards the church because they weren't doing this or that. And it was a time of probably 4 or 5 years that ended up in a dark point in my Christian walk. I'm not saying that paying attention to the signs of the times is not important. I'm not saying that prophecy is not important and something that we should pay close attention to and understand. But as a storm chaser, trying to find the storms and the detail in the storms, I was creating something in my own heart that was not fruitful in my walk with Christ. I think the simplest way to illustrate the reality of this is a storm that Jesus was involved in. There was a storm all around him in the boat, right? And what was he doing? Yeah, his eyes were not on the storm. The storm was there, and he put the storm out. But his eyes were not primarily concerned about the storm that is brewing. And there is, in reality, a storm brewing around us. Is that true? Yeah, it is absolutely true. And the other storm that I think of is Peter, when he got out of the boat to walk, step out of the boat and walk to Jesus, who's walking on water. And as Peter is watching and he looks at the waves and the people around him, what does he do? Yeah, it is not a sustaining influence. Does that make sense? The sustaining influence is to only keep your eyes on Christ. And it's almost like this. The storm is there. How do you watch the storm and see the storm developing? You guys know what I'm talking about? How do you know, watch the storm around you and to pay attention, right? He told us to watch, yet keep your eyes fixed on him. How do you do that? God has given you something. It's called peripheral vision. And I think, and do you pay attention to your peripheral vision? Yes, it is. But is it where your focus is? No. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because the storm is brewing. And there's lots of noise. One of the things that Kathy said in Sabbath school is nobody knows. And Bob asked me, if nobody knows, why are you preaching up in front of us? And I said, that's exactly right. I don't know. But God does. And not only does he know the day or the hour, he knows the exact way things will unfold. He knows exactly what powers will be and what influences it will have and things that we will face. And there's lots of voices that you will hear that sound like they know. But they don't know. God knows. And I can assure you, with everything that I know, my whole experience of knowing what I know about God and how he's led me so far, I can assure you, if you keep your eyes fixed on him, it will not happen without him letting you know when you need to know. But in the meantime, it's on an as-need-to-know basis. And there's many things we don't know all the details. Keep your eyes fixed on him and him alone. And he'll show you. It still baffles me how the Christians of Jesus' day, when after he, here now 70 years after, many of the disciples are gone. John's already gone at this point, and the destruction of Jerusalem came. How they knew, based on what Jesus said, well, the Roman army. They were students of prophecy. They had things that there were certain things they did know. And there are certain things that God revealed to them at the time to show them what they needed and when. And not a single Christian was lost. They all left before the final destruction of Jerusalem. And that's how it will be for you and me. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. He'll tell you. One of my favorite authors says it this way, lay all on the altar before the Lord, and He will show you when to dispose of it, when to go to the left, when to go to the right, when to sell this property, when to do that. I mean, very practical things. Lay all on the altar before the Lord. And that's our job. And that's our focus. And that will carry us through unto the end. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy and grace that you so much bestow on us this day. And Father, if there's anything we can freely confess is that we don't know. We are completely dependent on you, Father. And there's so much that information, there's so much through Scripture, through inspired writings that you have revealed to us, and that we can have confidence in, that you will be sure to your word. Help us to learn to make that part of our heart and our very life, and may we put all on the altar before you every day, is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.